God has a sense of humor. In our call to worship, it said, "Oh, the mystery of God's dwelling on our distress." And what distresses us more than technology? Especially when it doesn't work right, as it had been tested. Well, Happy New Year to all of you. We are in the Christmas season. One more week of Christmas time in the church calendar. Next Sunday, we'll be celebrating Epiphany Sunday. This holiday season is particularly the season of the year when folks travel, get out on the road, and are on the move. And talk about distress and anxiety. Nothing creates it more than travel that has gone awry. Millions of people experienced that this week, particularly if they were booked on Southwest Airlines, causing all kinds of distress and the great storm that came across our country last week didn't do anything to help that situation. Many of you perhaps traveled or had loved ones, friends, family that traveled over the holidays, and hopefully they had safe travel. Our daughter Megan and son-in-law David came down from New York City, and we will be traveling later this month now, as we have our own Advent, in a sense, waiting for the birth of our granddaughter coming later this month. Oh, by the way, have we told you about that? Life on the road does have its challenges this time of year. Minor, major inconveniences of those stuck in airports are nothing like the traumatic experience for thousands, literally millions around the world. Some say up to 100 million, up 15% just in this year. That is the number of refugees traveling, migrating, leaving their home because of war or some kind of natural catastrophe or disaster. The minority of those are actually coming to our southern border, and we probably think that's the majority of refugees when it really is. It's just a very small number coming to our southern border. Of course, Europe has an outstanding number of refugees with the war in Ukraine. And the Holy Family knew something about being refugees, didn't they? What kind of welcome, I wonder, did they receive in Egypt? I can't imagine that they were the only ones fleeing Palestine, hoping to protect their children from an insanely jealous Herod. Were there Egyptians who welcomed them with open arms, even if it may have put their lives at risk? Did Pharaoh have an immigration problem? Now, I doubt that either Joseph or Mary did much traveling before that journey to Egypt. I suspect that perhaps neither of them had left their town of Nazareth, that everyone in occupied Judea had to return to their city of birth and register with the Roman overlords. We know that journey, a tough journey, particularly for Mary, who was very pregnant. And yet no sooner had Mary given birth than an angel of the Lord came to her, sent to warn her and her family. And I can imagine the angel said something like this: "The same government that ordered you to Bethlehem for enrollment has now threatened your child's life with extermination. Get up, pack, move. This time to faraway Egypt." King Herod had gotten the word of the birth of a new king. And rather than take any chances with this threat to power, has ordered the killing of all Jewish babies. 2 years old and under. And that's where we come on this Sunday, this first Sunday after Christmas, this holy family not resting peacefully, standing with the angels in the nativity scene there in the stable. They are on the road, braving the hardships of travel, the uncertainty that awaits them. On the road with baby Jesus in the time of Christmas, refugees, immigrants fleeing for their lives. And we can see, I think, in our mind's eye, the Holy Family gathering their few belongings and headed out to Egypt, forced to flee, saying goodbye to Nazareth, to family and friends, and familiar surroundings, on their way to a strange land. And can we imagine what it was like to be somewhere where you didn't know the language, the religion, the customs, the sights, the sounds, the smells, and tastes, all foreign to our senses? Perhaps many of us have had international experiences where we got a little sense of that, of how it affronts all of our senses. And I don't need to preach a sermon to you about the worldwide crisis facing refugees. As I said a little earlier, estimates are up over 100 million. One of the statistics I said that every 30 seconds, another family are on the flee. So that means, and countless refugees are becoming refugees even as we sit here. And over half of them are children. Continuing to be displaced because of governmental policy, war, famine, and more. You know about that. We are doing our small part, and may we continue, and may people around the world continue, and may governments be given the wisdom to figure out how people can stay where they want to stay, in their own land, in their own homes, free from the threats of war. But we have our own journeys, our own literal and figurative journeys of life that we are on, each one of us, and us collectively as a congregation. And we can testify that Christ is on the road with us through all of the experiences, all the journeys of life, the ups and the downs, what Kate Bowler likes to talk about as the happies and the crappies. I bet there are people right here, right now, who can testify also to thinking back on our lives and how we came to where we are, where we were in our life's work, being taken perhaps places and into situations and into opportunities that we would have never thought of on our own. Perhaps an occupational decision you might have thought was your decision, then you realized that you were invited onto this road of your occupational journey with some kind of presence beyond you that invited you to pay attention to where you might show Christ's love to those you served in your workplace. I remind you that Jesus' words to his disciples when he called them was not to sit quietly and think about me or get the right things in your head about me. No, his invitation really was to follow me. Come on the road with me. The Christ has brought us along on our journey of faith. If you or if we as a congregation stop to ponder how our faith has changed over the years of our life's journey, we might in fact be sometimes a little embarrassed or astonished as we look back perhaps to old journals or just think back to what our faith looked like when we were 20 or 30 or whenever in our life's journey. We might say we've changed our ideas, changed our thoughts, grown in our faith. You may have heard the old expression, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. But that doesn't fit with our understanding of Christ taking us on a journey, when in fact, the norm should be change. Christ is leading us in a dynamic journey. So yes, I hope we've changed our minds on many things over the years. Because Christ is a living Lord, not a dead figure of history. Or perhaps you, like me, are the sort of person who always likes to please people, who doesn't enjoy causing controversy or making people uncomfortable. But there we were as a congregation in this past year, coming to a position of welcoming LGBTQ friends and neighbors, and then opening our doors for hospitality, even though we were called into question for doing so. There, at least one or more of you were at the Penrith School Board meeting calling for greater inclusion of all students in the life of the school. I believe that's in response to Christ's call. To become someone not obnoxious just for the sake of being obnoxious, no, but for speaking the truth to power, because Christ is going before us and calls us to care about such things of injustice. Now, maybe you're like our household where Mary and I usually sit down with our calendar sometime around this time of year and review the things that have happened to us over this past year. We did that a little bit when we write our Christmas letter that we send out, usually sometime in the holiday season, and I think both of us were surprised at how much travel we did over this past year, either individually or together. And we always note both times of great joy and times of challenge and loss. Because the road, this journey we travel on, is not easy for us as individuals or for us as a congregation. Just a little bit of reflection that as I prepared this sermon thought of for us as a congregation back in January, and then the congregational meeting in March, we became a fully welcoming congregation. And as I said, we took steps to show our welcome throughout the year, the hard year. We walked with Bob and Mary Lou Cummings through Mary Lou's brave journey of dying. We grieved losses. We celebrated the coming of Catherine and Ian and Leah. We welcomed new members. We were with those who were sick, with those who were injured in falls, who faced job loss, who recovered from surgery. We lamented especially Pastor Jessica's decision to end her pastoral ministry among us. We faithfully gave our time, our money, our energy to the life of PMC and There are things I'm not including or thinking about. And now we face this new year of 2023. Thankfully, I don't write checks anymore, so I'm not going to be writing 2022 when it's really 2023. And who knows what the new year will hold for us in our personal or congregational life? What new challenges will we face? What new opportunities will be before us for us to engage? This past summer, Mennonite World Conference convened in Indonesia, and several young adults were invited to speak from various parts of the world. A Ebenezer Mondes from the Philippines said this, and I quote, "In times of trouble, we are the extension of God's hand. The miracles of God come through us. This is what living together in times of crisis looks like. We forget about our differences and disagreements, and we find together our common goal for peace. Truly, crisis and hardship bring out the best in us." End quote. God bless you, Ebenezer Mondes, for this youthful optimism and insight and vision that all of us need to embrace. Because we know that particularly around the world, but in our own country, in our own conference, in Mennonite Church USA, in Mosaic Mennonite Conference, we are facing crises. With even, it seems, more splintering happening all the time. But will we stand for unity, even as we remain clear about our call for justice and greater inclusion in our conference and denomination? We at PMC have a small but, I believe, very important voice in our conference, in our denomination, and in our world. Let's trust the guidance of the Spirit on this uncertain journey. We don't know what the future holds, but we can know that we do not journey alone. Christ goes before us, with us. The story of the baby Jesus being hurried out of town into Egypt begins a pattern for his life where he's on the move, going from one place to another, demonstrating and declaring the kingdom of God is at hand. Open your eyes, open your ears, see, hear it. So we begin this year of 2023. I challenge us to open ourselves to the possibilities that lie before us in our personal, in our congregational life. Let's get curious together. Let's stimulate our imagination. Let's see the opportunities right before our eyes. Let's take courage, for we do not travel alone. We travel with Christ. We travel together. I take comfort in knowing that we are travelers together. We do not have to journey alone. I've seen the way you journey with each other, and I take confidence in knowing that you will continue to do so. Christ walks with us, who knows how distressing, but how adventurous this journey can be. So do not shrink back. Walk with us. Let us walk together with courage and hope and great love. Thanks be to God. Amen.